on some emotional techniques, you know, transforming emotional energies might be relevant. And so we want to transform negative emotions, don't we? And there's a few basic techniques. We might start with one which is where the emotional body or astral body is built off various vibrations, and amongst them are colour or light, also sound, music, that kind of stuff. And I mean, ultimately, what's your astral body meant to be by default is positive, of course, with all the joy and forgiveness and grace and love and all those kind of forces. So technically, it's built out of what substance, what beings build your astral body? Angels, because there are angels of forgiveness, angels of joy, angels of love. So you might feel them coming in. And if you can perceive the colours, you can imagine the colours. Don't worry if you can't see it, just imagine. The colours should be nice and bright and refined, you know. So if someone had yellows and greens or blues or pinks, they should be nice clean colours, not muddied. So technically, usually the more negative the aura, the emotional body, the more dull the colours are, darker, greyer, you know, tainted, and more misshapen. So you may feel that. And even really powerful astral bodies have translucency. They are, have like, they don't even have colours as you perceive them. They're like stained glass window colours, almost as if you can see through that person's astral body. The astral body is also built of star substance, so you may feel it kind of hovers and gets lighter as we do meditations. So let's start with a few emotional. I'm just giving one or two for each negative emotion. It doesn't mean that this is the only negative emotion technique. I'm just giving a sample. So let's start with grief. How would you transform grief? Say grief over someone who's died, over a separation. You know, usually it's that, isn't it? You know, you don't have grief over spilling a cup of tea, do you? Grief over someone dying, you know. So what would you do if someone died?
Cry.
Hmm?
Cry.
You would cry, would you?
Yeah.
Acceptance.
You would let them go, wouldn't you? You wouldn't hang on to them, you know, forever. You know, hang on to their memories, their possessions, their attachments, you know, although that seems to be the easiest thing to do initially, you know, and letting go seems to be the hardest thing. So where can you let them go to? What's the ultimate of letting go of someone? So you let them go to the stars, the soul. You imagine the soul going to the stars and imagine or create the invocational intention that you will never see them again, ever, in any future life either. You'll never reincarnate and meet them ever again. I mean, how would that feel?
It's all right. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
It's right.
No, but this is a loved one, someone you know, most people with loved ones want to meet them again. I know, but that intention initially makes the grief more intense because you're really amplifying the letting go to the ultimate. But paradoxically, the mere fact that you create that intention, it makes it more likely that you'll meet that soul again. But that's not your intention, you see, because the nature of the soul is that they tend to stay away from loved ones if loved ones keep wanting to pull them back, if wanting to keep getting a message from them, or want to meet them again. That keeps that soul away.
Will some soul be together for always?
Well, it doesn't matter. The intention really is to let that soul go forever. And of course, what if it was a relationship, you know, grief, separate. Again, you could let that person go and imagine they return to the stars, they die, and then you never see them again. You know, the living may be in the next road, but you'll never see them again.
You love them, set them free.
Yeah. So That's an exhalation process. And that is akin to the exhalation you make at the last breath of life. I've mentioned before, I think, to some of you, every time you breathe in, you're recapitulating or bringing into your awareness the very first breath you ever had in this life, which was the breath of entering the body consciously, to incarnate into the first-born body. Every time you breathe out, you're recapitulating or, you know, creating an awareness of the ultimate last breath you're going to make at the end of this life. So technically, when people can't let go, they don't exhale properly. The attachment to that person and so on stays inside their lungs as unexhaled air, unexhaled astral energy. So what you can imagine is you're exhaling the person fully to the stars. And at the stars, or close to the stars, intermediary, are angels. Angels will receive your exhalation and carry that soul to the stars. Okay, and you're saying this making up, but this is what happens. Okay, so has anyone ever had grief?
Yes.
No one doesn't know what grief is.
No.
Yeah. All right. So you can use this meditation on that memory of the grief or any grief you've got right now. And likelihood is you've got some grief, you know, because you're not like emotionally fully developed, are you? Okay, so imagining you're just be aware of yourself in the chair, taking a few breaths, letting go of your day, and letting go of your summer holidays. And just be aware for a moment of your aura. Imagine an energy all around you. This is your aura. And visualize or imagine that your aura has a certain kind of quality, like a density. And does your aura feel light, almost like it's porous? Or does it feel heavy and weighed down by life's negativities? Do you feel emotionally buoyant or emotionally heavy? Bring your attention on your lungs or your chest area as a place where grief tends to be stored. Visualize or imagine any grief that you've experienced and now create the intention that you fully let go of that person or thing and allow that person to return to the stars, that you never see them again in any life. And imagine you exhale all your memories of that person out to the angels above you. You send that person to the stars. sense if any part of your energy in your lungs wants to see them again, be willing to surrender that, to go into the unknown. Now visualize that the inside of your lungs are more open, more like a vacuum. You have more space now. Just imagine white light in your lungs as you come back. The lack of security issue and work on worry. Now, worry tends to go to which organ?
Spleen.
Spleen. Just under the left rib cage. But what worry does is it regurgitates in the spleen. It keeps going round and round and round. And that is obviously what's going on in the mind. The thoughts are going round and round and round. Worry is, and the bigger context is where you keep thinking about something, but no resolution ever occurs, does it? Now, worry tends to unground people. The spleen is related to the earth element in Chinese medicine. One good way to antidote or to go to the positive level where there's no worry is when you go into a space of living in the now and totally intend to never know what's going to happen ever in the future. When you erase your opportunity to predict anything. When you want to, you intend to live in complete now state. Now, if you were, you know, when you are enlightened, which is now, isn't it, really? You are enlightened. But as you get fully enlightened and self-realized, and let's say, you know, you get the power given to you of precognition, of knowing everything that is happening in the future, in your existence, what will you do with that power?
Cry as well.
Try to change the things you don't.
See, you haven't been listening, have you? What you do is you surrender that power. You choose not to use that power in order to live in the present. See, living in the present doesn't mean you can't see the future. True living in the present is where you have the power to see the future, but you choose not to.
What about clairvoyance and stuff?
Yeah, you choose not to look at your own future. And yet you could, if you wanted to. But because you choose not to, it makes you even more completely unaware and therefore more present. You have to deal with everything as it's happening. See, most people are constantly planning their future. They're constantly setting goals, setting times, deciding when to do this and that, whether it's the future of today or tomorrow, you know, like planning your day-to-day things next year. And as soon as you start planning your future, you create the energy of worry. You might not connect the two, but let's work with this. So what we're going to do is imagine you're enlightened, and imagine you are given the power to read your future, to know everything that's going to happen anytime. And you ask to surrender that power, to live completely in the present, to live in total insecurity. And in that state of consciousness, then imagine you can release all the worries that have been building up in your spleen over your life. Make sense? Okay. So now, again, imagining, you can, again, looking at your aura or feeling it, sense if at least your lungs feel lighter or the area around your chest. But now we're going to address the area around your spleen, the left lower ribcage area. And ask to connect to any energy of worry that is stored in your aura and in your spleen. And a good way to imagine worry energy is thoughts going round and round and round like a whirlpool, like a circus, never stopping, never going anywhere. And project the following intention or affirmation to your spleen. And that is, you choose to never know what will happen in your future timeline. You choose to live totally in the uncertainty of the present now. Repeat the affirmation if you need to. I ask to never know my future timeline and to live totally in my present moment now. stabilize the meditation, imagine going into your spleen or into that area on the left lower side of your chest. And imagine a door opens, or a path, a door to a path. And that's a new path in life, because you're living in the present. You're no longer going into alternate futures created by the mind. So imagine like a road, a gate opening to a road in your spleen. And that's a new path in your life, starting now. Fear, of course, gets stored in the kidneys, adrenal system, and what we should do is deal with the origin of fear, if we can imagine an origin, as the fear of incarnating in the first place on Earth in a body, and that would be in the early stages of incarnating in for the human race. Our base chakras, and therefore kidney adrenal energies, were programmed purposely, and therefore our bodies, with fear. Fear that the earth is dangerous, that we have to survive. Think back to Adam and Eve, you know, if you can remember that back, far back. What did Jehovah say to you? He said to Adam, you will now die, you will now suffer, you will now experience pain. You will now have to work hard to get your food and so on. We were given this kind of like a curse, this sense that Earth is going to be hard. And that fear, that original survival programming, is still in the base chakra for everyone. Until you choose to say, well, I don't need that program anymore. And then when you ground to Earth in a different way, you can experience the earth is totally abundant, that you attract to you what you need whenever you need it. There's no need to survive at whatever level, and that includes money, survival issues, work, you know, that kind of thing, insecurity. So let's work with that. And of course, the fear what tends to do is paralyze people from going forwards into the unknown, because the fear holds them back from change. So as you clear the fear from your kidneys and you ground better, you start realizing there's something you can change now in your life, because you don't have the fear about it. Okay. So this time, imagining going down to the region of your low back, if you like, or the base chakra and the kidney area. And just visualize for a moment your kidneys. You can almost feel them inside your lower back area. Maybe occasionally you get twinges, like cramps of pain there, every now and then, reminding you of fear stored in there. Imagine from your kidneys energy column, a line of energy flowing down through your base chakra into the earth itself, your grounding cord. Imagine the very first time you created that connection to the earth, your grounding cord, was a long, long time ago, at the beginning of your incarnations, during an earlier stage of the human race called Lemuria, when you first came to earth. So now project into your kidneys and base chakra, grounding cord, the intention that you wish to clear, remove the original survival and fear-based program that was put into your body there. And you now wish to clear that out completely. And you ask that your spirit guides help you remove the first incarnation fear programs out. Now imagine that instead of fear holding you to earth, making you incarnate, you have joy instead. Joy is flowing down your grounding cord into the earth. The joy and the magic of incarnating, of experiencing life on earth, that it's a gift. Incarnate on earth. got time. And obviously anger goes to another area, liver area, gallbladder, liver area, right rib cage area. And of course, what do people get angry about? But what ultimately are they angry about?
Many things.
Yeah.
Business, relations, as well.
I know you've got a long list, haven't you? Yeah, but ultimately, at the end of that list is what?
Eureka.
You're angry at yourself, aren't you? Ultimately, anger just becomes self-directed anger, you know, and that's it's a very destructive energy. But paradoxically, anger though is one of the most wasteful energies. It just doesn't go anywhere. You never resolve anything through anger. It never solves anything, and it ends up just destroying you. So that's the thing. Most people can be in anger all their life, and it can go so deeply entrenched. They have all kinds of diseases, don't they? Typically, arthritis, rigidity, stones, gallstones, stuff like that. But one way of clearing anger is to simply imagine a big, massive river flowing through your liver, and that river is ultimately the river of life. So you can give it a colour, like nice blue water. And that's life flowing through your liver. Because anger is anger at life not flowing the right way for you. At, you know, things not flowing. And so when you create, it's a chicken and egg. If you create the image that life is flowing properly through your liver, then the anger simply releases itself from the liver and goes into the flow. And when it goes into the flow increases, because what anger does is it stagnates the flow of your life. Or put it another way, anger creates the stagnation, which then creates the anger, which then creates the stagnation, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So when you create the flow, that allows you to throw the anger in it, and throwing the anger in it creates increased flow, which gives you even more opportunity to get rid of the next layer of anger. And have you noticed, life doesn't have to be flowing outwardly for you to still create an image that it's flowing through your liver. Because it's, again, as within, so without. If you create the flow first, then outward life will start flowing. If you wait forever, outer life won't flow until you start creating the inner flow. Okay? So... So this time, let's go to the area of your liver, right rib cage area. You can even imagine, start by imagining the colour of your liver. Sometimes when there's lots of anger or frustration or depression, the liver has a kind of dark, sickly, greenish colour. Dull colour. A healthier colour might be a nice grass green. So imagine bringing up in your liver all the anger you've ever experienced in your life. Because all the anger you've ever experienced is remembered in your liver, is stored there as a memory. Even if you're not angry right now, the layers of past anger are still stored there. Connected to all those situations in your life where you felt blocked, not flowing or frustrated. So now create an image as if you've got a big, like a demolition hammer, and you can see a dam of brick wall in your liver, which is damming up a river behind it. So use that spiritual demolition hammer made of white light to break open, smash open the dam and allow a broad, deep river to flow through your liver out into your life. Imagine perhaps that you have to overcome an initial resistance in your mind, a resistance that you can't believe your life can flow. You've been so used to your life not flowing that you don't trust it anymore. Imagine though that river, and imagine throwing all the anger into it. And that anger becomes the extra energy that you needed to flow that river. The anger just flows away. To help the energy, project into your liver the quality of faith, faith in life, faith that you can flow, that life will flow for you. Ask the angels of faith to enter your liver to give you more faith. Now is just to stabilize the last meditation is just to receive angels. And imagine as if your aura, your emotional body, can be built out of angels, as if they can provide building blocks to your emotional body. And you can receive whatever angels you want. I mean, I'll just say a few, but you can ask for many. You can ask for the angel. You think of any positive emotion and ask for the angel of that positive emotion to come down and merge with you, to sustain you. So I'll just say a few: angels of charity, love, peace, harmony, grace, you know, and we'll just invite them down. Okay. So. So for this one, you can put your focus on this through your third eye. Imagine your third eye between your eyes. It's like a portal, an opening. And there's an opening through your third eye into the spiritual world above you. Or another image is it's rather like a chute or a tunnel, so that the spiritual world can send energy into your third eye. And you can now receive angels. As they enter your third eye, they will then spread into the whole of your body. You don't have to go into any order, but ask to receive the angels of love, of joy, forgiveness, peace, grace and harmony. Spend a minute or two on each. Put a focus now on the angels of forgiveness. Ask to receive them, to become them. And through the angel of forgiveness, angels of forgiveness, you forgive yourself and you are forgiven of all sins, of all kinds, of all errors, so that you can go through full redemption and return to God. Complete by imagining that your emotional energy is being more positive, is also no longer dualistic. Ask to clear all duality out of your emotional body. And by that it means you no longer need to react or respond to other people or situations which have negativity by creating negativity. You don't need to react anymore to negativity. Unity, and therefore you feel the positive flow of life at all times. And then finally imagine your heart. It's opened more expanded. Imagine lines of light from your heart connecting to every other part of your body, to all your chakras and energy centers, so that your heart truly is the center and radiates and affects every part of your being.